Anybody in this place besides me discovered that sometimes life can get tough? I need to share with you, I made myself a little note here, you know. Y'all don't do that, do you? I got a text message from Scott Kemp. He's in India on a missions trip, and he texted me yesterday afternoon late and said that thousands of people were coming to know Christ and that the Lord was doing some incredible miracles. But then about an hour later, he texted back and said several of their ministry team had been arrested by the Hindu police and had been severely beaten and put into jail. And I was conversing with him this afternoon. Scott himself is personally okay, but some of his ministry team is still in jail, and he's asked Open Range to lift them up in your prayers. And so I want to make you aware of that. Many of you have already been praying. We'll do as best we can to keep you abreast of that situation. But I'll tell you something. The body of Christ is under attack. Whether you're on foreign soil or you're in Greenwood, Louisiana, matters not your economic background, matters not the accolades that you've won in various sports events or whatever, matters not the education level that you've obtained. What matters is that do you know Jesus? Because I assure you, when everything else will fail you and let you down, you can count on Jesus to never fail. He promised us in his word that I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way to the very end. Now, if you study the same Bible that I do, you'll find that as we wind this thing up going down the final stretch, it's going to get tough. Now, I'm not a pessimist. I'm very much an optimist. And I believe in a very positive God that's well able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can even ask or think. But his word tells us to make our calling and election sure. What's happening is there is a sifting of the wheat and tares. There's a separating of sheep and goat. We have been put in a fire so that we, the church that he comes back, is going to be refined and without spot or wrinkle. What's happening is that the hypocritical type Christians, those who serve him with their mouth but their hearts are far from him, they're going to fall by the wayside. They're not going to be able to weather the storm. They're going to succumb to the temptations and the pressures and the problems. That's why he tells us to endure, persevere. Now, he will empower you and go with you and help you, but you've got to get a mindset that you will not lose. You will not compromise. A man sitting up in the balcony, Cole Eccles, one of the top 15 bull riders in the world here a couple of years ago at the National Finals Rodeo out there. I assure you, every time he would slide down in that bucking chute, he had to have a mindset that he was going to make 8 seconds. Am I telling the truth, Cole? Because if he slid down in that bucking chute thinking like I thought when I was in high school one time, going to ride a bull, John, old Gene Dumas, you remember him? Rodeo clown, he came by and he peeped through those bars and he said, "Cowboy, I'm not going to say you can't ride this bull, but if you don't, you better not stop to pick up your hat because he'll get in your business." Well, that's just what I needed to hear when I'm fixing to try to ride a bull. The truth of the matter is, as you study the Word of God, you'll find that there's a great deal in there that relates to, yes, having your heart right, but it also deals with your mind, bringing captive thoughts, seeing if they be of God, and if they're not, to discard them, to get rid of them. Don't entertain them, because wrong thoughts lead to wrong actions. When you entertain wrong thoughts, it won't be long till they'll get into your heart. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You want to know what's in your heart? Listen to what comes out of your mouth. Pretty simple deal. Might need to turn your spiritual hearing aids up a little bit so you can hear what's coming out of your mouth. Now I realize that we're in the Christmas season, and that's why I'm going to go to the death and burial of Jesus. Go with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 24. We'll address Christmas beginning next week. But this is what the Lord has laid in my heart tonight. And I'm sure as the songs have gone in a direction, there are many of you in this place tonight that you're struggling and you're battling and you're fighting and you're torn and you're pulled at and you're stretched and you're tired and you're weary. And you've some of you possibly feel like, God, where are you? Don't you see this mess that I'm in? I've prayed, I've called on you, and yet I'm still in a battle. I'm still in warfare. Where are you? Then your thoughts will turn to there's got to be more to life than just existing. There's got to be more to life than where I'm at today. There has to be more to this than what I'm experiencing. And see, the devil will begin to play with your mind, and he'll begin to cause you to question yourself and question God. And it's okay to question, but get in his word and find the answers. Attune your ears. The word says, to him that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. You've got to want to hear what God has to say about your situation. You can't just come to him like Santa Claus and give him your shopping list. You got to want to know what he's got to say about your circumstances. And so I thought about some guys and gals in the Word that are going through similar pressures and trials as we are today. The disciples and a group of women. And in the preceding chapter, chapter 23, Jesus had been crucified and put to death and buried. We pick up, it's going to be a lot of reading tonight. I did get hooked on phonics one time. Chapter 24, verse 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found no body of, not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake to you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all of the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to be to them as idle tales. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves and departed, wondering in themselves at that which was come to pass. Here's where I want to go. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. That's roughly 7 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all of the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all of this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to have entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village where they went, and he made it as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? There were some key words over there as we begin to read. These disciples were troubled. They were perplexed. And they were afraid. In life, you'll find at times that you too will be troubled about the circumstances that you're in. You'll be perplexed and not understand nor have answers. You'll find that if you're not careful, you'll become afraid. You have to remind yourself where that fear comes from. Doesn't come from the Lord. The Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of peace and of love and of sound mind. How can you have peace and love and a sound mind in the middle of chaos and turmoil? I can tell you how. It's when you remember the greater is he that's in you is greater than he that is in the world. Those aren't just scriptures that we quote to impress people of our knowledge of the Word of God. They're facts that there is a living Holy Spirit that resides within us, that empowers us to go beyond the abilities of natural man, because God puts his super on our natural and enables us to go forward and to do things we could otherwise not even dream of doing. He causes us to be able to say no when normally we would say yes. He causes us to be able to rise above instead of falling beneath. I read something the other day. I believe it was in the Grip of Grace devotional that I have. If I can remember it, it said something to the effect, will you remain like you are and make excuses, or will you rise above your circumstances and make a way? You see, God has not created his children to be victims, but victors. He's created us to be his representation. We are ambassadors of Christ. And as ambassadors of Christ, we've been given his authority, the authority of his name, the authority of his blood, the authority of his word, to go forth and to not live in a world of fear. We're in this world, but we're not of it. Now, we're confronted with things on a daily basis of choices and options and decisions that we have to make. And it's important that we hide the Word of God into our heart, not only so that we don't sin, but because it's the road map that shows us how to walk. It's the direction, so to speak, of how to handle the circumstances and situations that we're in. I've got news for you. One of the most misquoted verses in the Bible is this. Just resist the devil, honey. He'll flee from you. That's not what it says. Is it, Nate? It says this, submit yourself therefore unto the Lord. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. If you're not submitted to the Lord, you can resist the devil all you want to and you'll be overcome. But if you're submitted to God and to his word and are filled with his spirit, you can resist the devil. Jesus was the perfect example of that. Scripture is very clear. It says that he was tempted in all ways as you and I are, but he was without sin. Every time the devil came to him with a temptation, Jesus quoted the word. I refer to this regularly in this body. There's no substitute for the word of God. There's no shortcuts to faith. You can pray for more faith. You can desire more faith. You can ask for more faith. Faith only comes one way, by hearing the word of God. You've got to put in the time in the word of God so that the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher, can lead, guide, and direct you into all truths. It can reveal unto you things, informing you convictions of do's and don'ts. You see, it's God you're wanting to please, I hope, not man. Therefore, if you'll listen to the voice of the Lord, He'll teach you how to become the person that He wants you to be. But on this journey, like these two disciples that are going down the Emmaus Road, and we read how they talked about, we thought He was the one. We put our confidence, we put our trust in Him. We just knew that He was the deliverer. We just knew that He was the anointed one. We just knew that He was the Messiah. Now He's dead and we can't even find His body. What are we going to do? You notice something in this story? Jesus walking right along there with them. And they don't even recognize Him. They're so consumed with the negativity of their problems and their seemingly situations, they don't recognize that He's right there in their midst. How oftentimes do we, in the middle of controversy and trials and problems and situations, do we fail to remember that He's right there? Because He said, I'll not leave you. I'll not forsake you. What we have to do is look for Him. What we need, verse 27, we need a fresh word from Jesus. We see in verse 27 how He expounded unto them all the scriptures concerning Himself. You're in problems, you got troubles, you need direction, you need a word from the Lord. Get in His word. Spend time with Him. Doesn't matter so much what I think. Doesn't matter what your co-worker thinks. In fact, Scripture says this, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You want to really get your life messed up, just start listening to people that don't love Jesus and aren't serving Him and taking their advice and doing what they say, and you'll be in the same situation they're in. Be careful who you get your counsel and advice from. Be careful who you allow to pray for you. Be careful who you allow to know the details of your circumstances. Because I want you to know something. Most people could care less. They're just a bunch of busybodies. They would like to know what your circumstances are so they can tell everybody about it. They don't really care if you get over it or out of it or not. That's the simple truth. Very few people really care. I promise you that most of those will be Christians. So you need a fresh word from the Lord. That comes by investing time with Him. Secondly, in verse 31, where it says that their eyes were opened and they knew Him. We need a fresh glimpse of Jesus. We need to be refocused. We need to train our spiritual eyes and be fixed upon Jesus. When we get a fresh glimpse of Him, we see a fresh renewing in our remembrance of all the things that we know He's done, is doing, and will yet to do. There's something about when we see Him. Thirdly, verse 32, you need a fresh anointing or a fresh passion. You see in verse 32, it said, did not our heart burn within us while He talked to us? I want you to know one thing. There are a lot of people, God bless them, they mean well. They'll drive all over the United States wanting somebody to have a word for them from God. What's wrong with you hearing God? In fact, let me put it this way. I would much rather hear God say to me something clearly and me know it was God than Brother Wayne, as much as I love and respect him, tell me God told me to tell you such and such. I'm going to show you once again how God works. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Okay, meaning, God will direct your life by talking to you. He will confirm what he's told you through others. Most often, they'll be confirming something to you when they don't even know they're confirming it. But you'll know it. But let me caution you against this. Don't run over and say, Doc, I feel like God's been saying such and such to me. What do you think? Because now I'm getting Doc's opinion. You see the difference? But if I'm at breakfast and have not said anything to him about the things God has been dealing with me about, but in conversation, things come out of his mouth that's confirmation to me. See, God will confirm his word to you. He don't want you walking. In fact, his word says this, that he's not the author of confusion. He don't want you walking around bumping into things and running into everything saying, well, we thought he was going to give us some direction. He will. He will. I was sharing with Duke today the message that I thought tonight I was going to preach tonight was Jehoshaphat. First of all, he went to seek God, and God told him what to do. And the second point I was going to make was this. Boy, this is pretty good even for an old cowboy. Don't arrive at the battle before God does. See, he told him, he says, tomorrow go down to the cliff, Ziz. Go on down there tomorrow. Don't you run your little fancy off down there today, because you're going to get in a jam if you get there before the Lord does. There's a lot to be said about that, even in this message tonight. You see, we want the Lord working with us, confirming his word with signs and wonders. We don't want to be hirelings. We don't want to work for God. We don't want to be religious. We don't want to be pretentious. We don't want to put on a show. We don't want to appeal to the flesh. We want the reality of the presence and the power and the love and the forgiveness and the healing and the grace and the peace of God to manifest in our individual lives and in our church. Because I want you to know, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. There's a real God, there's a real devil. That life and death has been set before us. And he said, choose life. I want you to know that in this battle, in these struggles that you're having, you're no different than these disciples were. You get the mully grubs, you get weary, you have questions, you wonder. But I'll say this, keep your focus. Get a fresh word from him. Fix your eyes on the Lord. Have a fresh anointing. Spend time with him and watch God work in your life. That's a simple word that I've given you tonight, and I want to close that with Hebrews 10 and 23. Nate, you can come on up. Hebrews 10 and 23 says, let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. See, some of you have been wavering a little bit because you've been going through some stuff. Hold fast to the profession of your faith. Verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. God's word is yea and amen. It's true. It's quick. It's powerful. It'll accomplish what he sent it to do. But he entrusts us with the ability to know it, to use it, to stand up on it, and to watch it work through the exercising of our faith. Through the exercising of our faith. I'm going to ask if you would bow your heads for just a moment. You're in this house tonight and you'd say, I'm like those disciples. I've been traveling down the road and really questioning. What's going to happen next? Where do I go from here? Where's God? If that's you, could I see your hand? I want to pray for you. Anybody anywhere? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? Slip it up. Slip it right back down quickly. Yes, sir. In the balcony. Anyone? Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you. Maybe you're in this house tonight and you've heard of this Jesus and how much he loves you. You just had never really called out to him. Tonight you're living in sin. You recognize that the Holy Spirit's tugging at your heart and saying to you, today is salvation come to your house. Today I stand at the door and knock. If you'll open up that door, I'll come in and sup with you. But you've got to open. If you're here in this place tonight, you'd say, I'd like to ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins and to come into my life. You can do that right now, right where you sit. Anyone here like that, could I see your hand? Slip it up, slip it right back down. Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? Thank you, sir. Thank you, young man. Anyone else? Very quickly, this is your moment. This is your time. You say, Dennis, I want to make some things right with God. Right here, right now. Anyone else that'll join these three? Thank you, young man. Thank you, young lady. Thank you. All right, look up here at me just a moment. I'm never here to prey upon your emotions. I want you to have a clear understanding of God's Word. When His Word tells us how to be saved, we have to believe that Jesus is God's Son that came to this earth to seek and to save which is lost, that which is lost. He lived a sinless life, died, shed sinless blood to redeem sinful man back to righteous and holy God. But He didn't stay dead. He walked out of that grave. And He's alive today with the desire and the ability to give life to whoever will call upon Him and believe in Him. And with that knowledge and with that understanding, I want to lead you in a prayer. And my prayers can't save you. The Word says that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, then we're saved. And it's between you and God. There's five of you that raised your hand in here tonight. Praise God. We ought to give the Lord a great big hand right here tonight. I'm proud of those. So let me pray with you right now. You must ask and receive. Let's pray. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I recognize your love for me. I do believe you're God's Son that died so that I might live. I believe you walked out of a grave, that you're alive today. So I ask you now to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me with your blood, to come into my life and save me, change me, help me to learn your ways, to learn your voice, to learn your word, so that I can live a life that's overcoming and brings glory to your name. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Lord, you saw many other hands go up in this place tonight that said they're struggling, they're having issues, they're battling. They're like these disciples we read about tonight. We just pray, Lord, that they'd have a fresh word from you as they seek you. And Lord, that they would have a fresh glimpse of you. Lord, that you would once again make yourself so real to them that they're problems, real as they may be, diminish in size because they recognize the Savior that they serve. God, I ask you during this Christmas season to use each and every one of us to breathe hope and life into a hurting and broken generation. Lord, that you would use us to be your hand of love extended in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Use us, God. We'll be sure to say thank you and to give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.